Hey guys, thanks for joining today. I'm Richard Wu in Azure Marketing and would like to welcome you to our first weekly Azure Remote App Ask the Expert series. We highly encourage you to ask questions during the presentation because there will be around 15 to 20 minutes at the end for us to answer. All you need to do is submit them via the Q&A widget below. So ask away. And with that, it's my pleasure to introduce Omer Gilani, Senior Program Manager at Microsoft, who will be talking about Azure Remote App. So take it away, Omer.
Thanks, Richard. Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for attending the first Ask the Experts event for Azure Remote App. Since this is the first in the series for Ask the Expert, we figured that it would be useful for us to kind of set the stage, set some context, and give you guys a quick overview of the service itself, the value propositions, the different deployment types that the service offers. So for the next few minutes, I'm going to walk through some slides, walk through the overview for the service. We'll also touch upon the architecture for the two different deployment types that are available for Azure Remote App. And I'm hoping that can help explain how the service works and how you think, you know, you guys can think through how this fits for your scenarios. At the end, we'll have plenty of time for questions, so feel free to type away your questions. We also have Eric Orman from the team joining, and he's also going to be helping me answer some questions. But we'll definitely have plenty of time at the end of the presentation to take your questions and to make sure that you know you answer all of them. With that, let me get started with the presentation itself. So one of the common problems that our customers come to us with is really the trend of bring your own device. A lot of our customers are seeing BYOD, where the end users of the enterprises are bringing in their personal devices, whether it's my personal laptop, maybe my favorite tablet along with it, my iPad tablet, my Android tablet, and what have you. And they want to be able to access their work-based applications off of these multiple devices. And we also see that it's not just one device. It's basically a set of companion devices that people bring in. And they want to be able to be productive on these devices and really access their work-based applications off of these devices. And in addition to just bringing in these devices to work, they also want to be able to use these devices when they're not at work, when they're mobile. So it's really a combination of mobile worker as well as the bring your own device scenario that IT organizations are really struggling with. And Azure Remote App is really one way we think that we can solve that problem. Now, in addition to the BYOD trend in workforce mobility, we're also seeing some additional requirements being pushed to IT, specifically from the business side. The need for having agility to bring up workloads very, very quickly, whether you're thinking about scenarios like interns or new hires coming in and bringing them online and giving them access to your work-based applications very, very quickly, or whether we're talking about sporadic workloads where at some time during the year your workload really, really goes up and IT is expected to scale up very, very quickly in an agile manner. Another interesting scenario, there is mergers and acquisitions, right? If you have a huge number of employees coming into your organization at a given point in time, it's a huge challenge for IT to be able to enable for these new workers who are joining for them to be productive in a very agile and a very quick manner. In addition to that, we're seeing a lot of our customers focusing on CapEx rather than focusing on operational expenses rather than the traditional CapEx model of having to buy servers, ordering those servers, waiting for them to ship, setting the whole thing up, and then starting to deliver your scenario and solving your users' problems. The cloud is a great way to do that, moving your capital expenditures to your operational expenses. And we think all of these problems combined give us a very unique challenge that we think that Azure Remote App can really help solve. So what is Azure Remote App? Azure Remote App is a finished service on Windows Azure that went into preview May this year. We've gotten a great response from you folks, and really what we enable here is a way for you to bring your Windows-based applications, run them on Azure's reliable platform using the great capabilities that Remote Desktop Services has to offer, and deliver these to your end users from any device, anywhere, and do all of this while bringing that great agility and scale to your deployment, and in fact not having to worry about scale at all. That really is the key value proposition that Azure Remote App brings to the table. So let's talk a little bit about some of the value propositions in a little more detail. As I mentioned before, Azure Remote App is built on top of the Azure's reliable platform, and basically, we've built the service from the ground up to take advantage of all the great capabilities that the Azure cloud has to offer. And that really means taking advantage of the great reliability that Azure's platform has to offer. Azure actually puts in a lot of effort and a lot of great features to make their platform super reliable. And Azure Remote App takes benefit from all of these. So, you know, if you run a production remote desktop services deployment as an example, you're very aware of all the effort that you need to put in to make sure that your deployment is always available, that it's reliable for your users. And with Azure Remote App, you don't have to worry about that anymore. In addition to the great reliability that the Azure platform has to offer, the Azure Remote App service basically comes with clients that you can use on multiple different platforms. Today, we support Windows, iOS, macOS, Android devices, and Windows Phone support is coming soon. And your users can basically use any one of these devices to access their work-based, Windows-based applications anywhere, you know, while they're mobile or at work in a secure fashion. We actually have clients available for all of these different platforms, and they're available for free on all the respective app stores. The Azure Remote App Service is built on top of the Remote Desktop Protocol, right? This is a protocol that the Remote Desktop Services product has been using for over a decade now, and Microsoft has been iterating on this and innovating on this protocol. There's actually a great set of investments that just recently went into this protocol that make it great to use over those high latency, low bandwidth networks. So that, you know, if you don't have a great internet connection, or if you're connecting from a distance, you actually get a very, very good experience. So all of the great features that go into the Remote Desktop and protocol and the Remote FX protocol, Azure Remote App takes benefit from that. Azure Remote App builds on top of that. So in terms of the experience that you might expect for your users, they actually get a great experience with Azure Remote App. One key value proposition that Azure Remote App brings to the table is really dynamic scale. If you've used or set up VDI-based deployments in the past, you're very well aware that the first thing you need to do before doing anything is sit down and walk through estimates of what your actual usage might be. The whole exercise of capacity planning. That includes guessing what your peak workload will be at any given point in time, and really designing your deployment for that peak workload. And we've seen a lot of our customers tell us that the peak that they see is usually for a very limited amount of time. The average usage is usually much less than that peak. But when you're designing a VDI-based deployment, you really need to figure out what that peak usage is, even if it's for a week during the year, at the end of the fiscal year, as an example. And design your deployment for that. With Azure Remote App, you don't have to worry about capacity planning or scale at all. The service scales dynamically and in real time, and we have a great algorithm built into the service that detects the usage in real time and scales the service up, and then scales it back down when it's not being used so that we can pass on the savings to you, the customer. Lastly, we recognize that not all applications are built equal. They have very different requirements, and two key types of applications that we've identified are applications that run standalone in the cloud. And for that, we have a specific deployment type that supports that. But also there are a lot of line of business applications that are more advanced, that are more client-server based, where the application actually needs to talk to a backend, whether it's a SQL or an Oracle database, as an example, or some customer data that might be living on-premises. So really, we need to enable that complex scenario where that application talks back to your on-premises network in a secure manner. So in order to support both of these, we've come up with two different deployment types for Azure Remote App, what we call the hybrid deployment or what we call the cloud deployment. So next, I'll dive a little deeper into these two different deployment types and see what the differences are. So let's start with the Remote App cloud deployment. Really, the cloud deployment has been designed to enable rapid provisioning for applications that can run standalone in the cloud. Today, in preview, we have a template image that's available for cloud-based deployments that has Office 2013 Pro Plus pre-installed on there. And if you've gone through this, you've seen that it's actually super simple to set up a cloud-based deployment. It's exactly 5 clicks and 20 minutes to 20 or 30 minutes, and your deployment is up and running, ready for your users to connect. There's a lot of other benefits you get with a cloud-based deployment as well. Automatic maintenance is another example. You do not need to worry about upkeeping the operating system or the applications up to date in a cloud-based deployment. Especially if you choose the template library-based image, both the operating system and the applications are maintained and are always up to date, and they're maintained by Microsoft, and you really don't need to worry about patching them or updating them at all. For cloud-based deployments, we support two authentication mechanisms, Microsoft accounts and also the ability to bring your corporate credentials and log in with your corporate credentials. But really, I think the biggest value proposition for cloud-based deployment is that rapid provisioning and really, really low maintenance. The other end of the spectrum is what the hybrid deployment addresses. This is really the more advanced scenarios targeted towards applications that are in this client-server-based architecture, where these applications need to talk back to your on-premises network in a secure manner, either to talk back to the backend for this application or to get some customer data. For this deployment, the applications, the operating system, as well as the settings are fully customizable by the IT admin. So really, between the two options, it's a trade-off between agility and speed to set it up and the ease to set it up and the control you have over that deployment. With the hybrid deployment, you have a lot more control, but it is a little more involved to set up. Now, because you can fully customize the applications and the operating system as well as the settings, IT is responsible for bringing in the image that has the application pre-installed and delivering that to the Azure portal, and that's what the service takes and runs with it. You have full access to your on-premises network for those applications that need to talk back to the on-premises network, and we made sure that this is secure. We'll actually talk more about this a little later. And you have the option to use your corporate credentials and connect to this type of deployment. But regardless of the deployment type you choose, you do get the great benefits and the value proposition we've talked about earlier across the board. That includes the great features that we've built into Windows Server 2012 R2 to make sure that when there's a shared session environment, not one user hogs the resources and causes the experience for other folks to be deprecated. We do some work here, features like CPU fair share, memory fair share, where we really make sure that one user only uses their due share of compute and storage resources, so as to make sure that all users on the deployment have an equally great experience. Dynamic scale, both deployment choices scale up or down dynamically, so you really don't need to worry about that in either deployment option. You also have the great benefit for global presence, right? For both of these deployment choices, you can pick any Azure data center you prefer, the one that's either closest to your users or closest to your data, depending on your deployment and the requirements of your application. But you have that flexibility without having to worry about setting up any sort of hardware. And all the great features that we've built into the remote desktop protocol to make sure it works over those high latency, low bandwidth networks and gives your users a great experience. And of course, you can use the clients that are available on all of the different platforms we support for both of these deployment choices. So let's dive a little deeper, look through the architecture overview for the cloud-based deployment. So the first security boundary, I think, that you guys need to think through when you create a cloud-based deployment is when you walk through the process of creating a cloud-based deployment, and that really is five clicks, right? There's a few very basic questions we ask you as the administrator, a friendly name that you want to give the cloud-based deployment, what region you want to run the cloud-based deployment in, and really what image you want to create the cloud-based deployment off of. And this could be the pre-created template image in the library, or you could upload your own template image with your own custom application and just create a cloud-based deployment off of that. And what we do at that point really is create a virtual network within your Azure subscription in the geo, in the region that you've pre-selected. So as an example, if you've pre-selected US West, the first thing we do is create a virtual network for remote app service within that region. And then based off of the template image that you've selected, right, if it's a library-based template image, it will be Windows Server 2012 R2 with Office Pro Plus 2013 pre-installed, and use that template image to create and set up the deployment. Now, there's a number of supporting infrastructure we stand up within your virtual network. things like a gateway so that you can connect in a secure manner to your deployment, some brokering infrastructure. All of that is completely obfuscated through, and you don't need to worry about that at all. But if you've gone through the process of setting up a VDI deployment yourself, you're very well aware that there's actually a number of infrastructure rules that are required to set up a deployment like this. Now, you don't need to select the template image that's pre-built in the library. You can also bring your own template image with Windows Server 2012 R2 installed and your own line of business installed. But we do recommend you bring a line of business application that can run standalone if you want to use it in the cloud-based deployment. Now, the way this works is when you selected the template image, the service is going to spin up infrastructure as a service VMs, boot those virtual machines with a copy of the image that you've selected. So, you know, as an example, if we spin up three VMs, they're all going to be booted off of the same image. Therefore, they're all going to have the same applications. And we're able to publish the applications off of these virtual machines for your users. Now, these are the applications that you decide to publish, right? So if you decide to publish Office or maybe just one Office applications or Office plus other applications, if you have those installed in your image, those are the applications that are published to your users. Now, as an admin, the only other two decisions you need to make is what applications to publish and who should have access to this instance of Azure Remote App. And that really is the users that you want to give access to, so you can go and specify those users. So the applications are published to the users that you specified. Now, when we talk about the users, they can use any one of their personal devices, and these can be managed or unmanaged devices. And as I mentioned earlier, we support Windows, and that includes x64, x86-based devices, as well as ARM-based Windows devices, such as Windows Surface. And, of course, we support iOS, Android, and Mac-based devices as well. So any one of those devices, you can download a native client for that platform and log into the Azure Remote App service. Now, in order to log in, you can use one of two authentication schemes. You can use Microsoft account, what used to be known as Live ID or Outlook.com. You can use those. So the administrator basically specifies users from a Microsoft account, and that's how those users will have access to the service. So you can use that to sign into the service, or you can use your corporate identity. Now, there you have a number of options. You can use a fully managed Azure Active Directory. So you can just go to Windows Azure and create an instance of Azure Active Directory for your Azure Remote App deployment and add users to that. Or you can sync your on-premises identities and groups to Azure Active Directory. This would be the same requirement you have for services like Office 365 or Windows Intune. And you do this by using the DirSync tool that's available today and fairly straightforward to set up. Once your identities and groups are synced to Azure Active Directory, your users can basically just use their work email to sign in, work ID to sign in and access their Azure Remote App resources. So now once the user has signed in, we will basically deliver these applications. They'll be able to see all of these applications on the respective client and click on the application to launch it. When you do this, we create a secure RDP connection to your Azure Remote App deployment from wherever the user is sitting. And this is over HTTPS, so it's a secure RDP connection. And then we start a full Windows session on one of these VMs available for that has capacity for the user. Now, if there isn't capacity, our algorithm actually predicts this and starts scaling up the deployment ahead of time. But wherever we find capacity, and our load balancing algorithm is going to determine that, and we're going to spin up a full Windows-based session for your user and actually launch that application and only remote the application experience to your user on their respective device. Now, each one of the users basically gets 50 gigabytes of persistent storage. Now, that's important because when a user decides to save something in My Documents, for instance, we want to make sure that data persists and that you don't actually lose data. So that when the user comes back the next day, you just go to My Documents and you can open the document that you were working on yesterday. The 50 gigabytes of persistent storage basically gets attached to the session that we start for our user on the respective VM. So this was a very quick look on the cloud-based deployment option that we have in Azure Remote App. Next, let's talk more about the more advanced deployment option, which is what we call the hybrid deployment. So there's a couple of key differences when it comes to the hybrid deployment, first of which is really federated identity. The only identity choice you have for hybrid-based deployment, unlike the cloud-based deployment, is using your corporate identities and using your corporate federated identities through Azure Active Directory. you cannot use Microsoft accounts for hybrid deployment, unlike the cloud-only deployment. The next difference is hybrid networking, right? And so this is really enabling your applications that are running in the hybrid-based deployment to talk back to your on-premises network in a secure fashion. And we do this by taking a dependency on the site-to-site VPN feature that Windows Azure has. That really enables you to your Azure deployment to talk back to your on-premises network in a completely secure manner. And the last difference really is the hybrid management, and that I think is really where the term hybrid comes from. What we do with a hybrid-based deployment is domain join the endpoints, the VMs that will actually be running your application in Windows Azure to your Active Directory. And that brings a huge advantage for us in terms of both management, as well as giving the administrator the capability to have a lot more control over this deployment. So this really enables you to use your existing management tools, such as SCCM or group policies for that matter, and actually manage this hybrid-based deployment, even though the VMs and the endpoints are actually running in Azure. And therefore, we see this really as an extension of your on-premises domain. So let's dive a little deeper. The diagram you see here is for the hybrid-based deployment, and you see it's actually very similar to the cloud-based deployment with a couple of key differences. The first, if you look down at the bottom, is with identity, right? You have only one identity option here, and which is using Azure Active Directory with DirSync, and that syncs your on-premises identities and groups to Azure Active Directory. So your users really will be able to log in with their work-based identities to access their applications. The second key difference is that secure connectivity back to your on-premises network, right? You might have a file share or a database that these applications that are running in Azure Remote App need to talk to, which happens to be on-premises. You can seamlessly access these using the site-to-site VPN that Azure has. Now, in this case, you need to set up that VPN device, and so setting up a hybrid deployment is a little more involved in that from that aspect. And you would do this by setting up a VPN device on your network's edge. It could be a hardware-based VPN device, and you can actually see the list of supported devices on the Azure site. Or it could also be a software-based VPN device where you spin up a Windows Server VM and enable the VPN role so that it serves as a VPN device. Now, you configure this VPN tunnel to talk only to your Azure Remote App deployment. You can obviously connect one VPN device to multiple Azure Remote App deployments or instances of Azure Remote App, but each one of these needs to be configured because this obviously is a secure connection, so there needs to be a shared key. So when you create a hybrid deployment, in the process of creating a hybrid deployment, the first thing you do is create a virtual network, and that is when we walk you through the process of setting up your VPN device and give you that shared key, a script basically, that you can go run and configure your VPN device with. The next difference really is that domain join, right? As I mentioned earlier, each one of these session host servers that are actually running your application in Windows Azure will actually be domain joined to your Active Directory. And that what that enables us to do is enable easier management, as well as make sure that, you know, any compliance in terms of security that you need to achieve is really zero work on top of what you've already set up for your network. You know, as an example, if a user logs in and they need to access a SharePoint site, since you've set up the right access for this specific user, and you have a full-blown Windows session, which is to a domain joined session host server, if you have access to that SharePoint site, you'll be able to access that. Otherwise, you won't. And there is no additional configuration required in order to make sure that the user has the right level of access. So that's one of the key benefits you get by domain joining these endpoints. Of course, the other benefit is management. You can make yourself the administrator, a local admin on the session host server if you prefer. You can use existing management tools that you have, such as group policies or system center, et cetera, to actually manage these endpoints that are running in Azure, just like you would be managing a local endpoint, really. And the last key difference here for the hybrid deployment is how you tell the service what applications to run. You do not choose a template image that's available in the library. Instead, you can bring your own custom image. And you would really set that up by installing Windows Server 2012 R2 on a virtual machine, installing your applications on there. It could be Office, it could be your own custom line of business application, it could be all of them together. Customizing the image, such as settings for the application, settings for the desktop, et cetera, and uploading that image, that SysRep generalized image, to the service, to the specific VNet. And that is what the service takes and spins up the instance of Azure Remote App. Now, the hybrid deployment also scales up or down dynamically, so you don't need to worry about scale there. And of course, the only other items you need to tell the service is what applications to publish from this image to your users and who are the users who have access to these applications. And that's about it. After this, the users connect the same way to the hybrid deployment. They get a full Windows session with the applications running in their hybrid deployment. In the hybrid deployment, we also, just like with the cloud deployment, offer 50 gigabytes of persistent storage for your users. But you have some more advanced options here, right? Because in this network, for instance, if you don't want to save your user data on Azure, even though it's within that virtual network, if you have some concerns, security concerns around that or compliance requirements, you could always decide to save your user data on premises. You could do this with features like roaming user profile or folder redirection. So you might have a file share on premises, and you just redirect the user's profile using group policy. That's a very common mechanism people use today, and that will actually work with Azure Remote App. You can also use other tools like Dropbox or OneDrive and OneDrive Pro if you prefer. So that was a detailed look through the hybrid deployment. So let's look at the differences in terms of patching and update for the two deployment options. For the cloud-based deployment, as I mentioned earlier, the benefit really is that automatic maintenance. Both the operating system as well as the application, especially if you've chosen the library-based template image, both the application and the operating system will be always up to date on an ongoing basis managed by Microsoft. You don't need to worry about that at all. You will always have the latest security patches installed as well as the latest version of Office 2013 Professional Plus installed on there. For the hybrid deployment, however, the administrator has a lot more control over this, and it's really under the IT admin's control. So you can use your existing tools such as group policies, Windows Update Services, or System Center, or some other management tools that you're using today from your on-premises deployments, and just use those to manage the hybrid-based deployment. But when it comes to updating the operating system and the applications, you have an image-based update mechanism, right? That's what you would typically use for a VDI-based deployment, if you're familiar with that. And the way you would update the hybrid-based deployment is that you would create another version of the custom template image that you uploaded to create the instance in the first place, and you can add applications, remove applications, add security patches, et cetera. And you upload that updated version to Azure Remote App and basically patch your deployment off of that. So there are some common questions that I get specifically around licensing that I wanted to spend just a little bit of time on since it seems like a very common question. First and foremost, what is the cost for Azure Remote App? Azure Remote App is going to be a named user-based service, so think Office 365 or Windows Intune, where you pay per user per month. And the price point that we'll come up with, which we have not disclosed today, will include all of the different cogs, essentially, if you will, that the service incurs into one price point. So you don't need to worry about storage separately, compute separately, ingress or egress separately. Everything is bundled into a single price point so that you pay per user per month, and you don't need to worry about anything other than that. In terms of licensing, if you have the cloud-based deployment, you don't need to worry about licensing for the operating system. And something like the RDS CALs that you might not need to worry about on-premises with VDI-based solutions, or the application if it's the cloud-based deployment from the template image for Office 2013 Professional Plus. However, if you're bringing your own line of business applications or some third-party applications, you need to work with your ISV to make sure that those applications are licensed appropriately on Azure Remote App. An example would be if you want to use an application like, let's say, MATLAB, you need to work with MathWorks to make sure that it's licensed appropriately to run on Azure Remote App. As I mentioned earlier, you don't need to worry about RDS CALs. All of that will be baked into, or server CALs for that matter, all of that will be baked into a single price point for Azure Remote App. And we do not charge for bandwidth separately. Everything is baked into a single price point. So I think we have Eric Orman on the line from my team. He's also a senior program manager, and he wanted to talk to you guys about ongoing engagement with us. Eric, take it away.
Hey, Omar. Elmer, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey. Hey, everyone. I'm Eric Orman. I'm one of the program managers that works with Omer on Azure Remote App. And so this week, you know, we gave you a good overview in terms of Azure Remote App, you know, explaining the hybrid and cloud versions. One thing we got, Omer, that we should show is just a quick demo, if we could follow up with that. So basically, I would, you know, go to your desktop and then launch the Azure Remote App client and then log in using your Microsoft your Microsoft account and show the demo. We didn't have that particular viewpoint. But, you know, following up on this is we gave you a good demo. We have a great turnout. How do we stay engaged with that? How can you get your questions answered? How do you seek, you know, you have other questions, you have feedback. What's the best way to stay engaged? So today we kicked off kind of just the general overview. And then starting next Wednesday and every Wednesday after that at 8:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, we're going to have an Ask the Experts. And so what this is, you know, a half hour to an hour, totally depends upon you guys, in which it's totally open to the public also, where we'll go over, you know, do some introductions. We'll have around a 10-minute presentation on the topic of the week that would include anything from, you know, just talking about creating your custom images to talking about all the other great things with Azure Remote App, how authentication works, you know, setting up DIR sync, to some of the other questions around how security, you know, tell me about security within Azure Remote App. How does that work? So we've got quite a few sessions planned for that. We may do, you know, more than one, so that may go a little bit longer depending upon that. Jim, he's our primary customer support guy. So if you're posting questions out on the forums, you know, support questions, because that's where you go if you have, you know, support questions out to the Azure forums. And we could link to that here shortly. But Jim will be on the call also, and he'll give kind of an update from the forums, you know, things he's seeing, general and general items on that. You know, then we'll dive a little bit deeper into, you know, hey, what service updates have we done? So something that you guys might not know is we are updating Azure Remote App service every other week. We're making constant improvements every other week to our service. So they could be big improvements, or they could be small improvements. A good example of that, last week we released a new version of the Cloud Gallery image. So if you're creating a cloud deployment, you have a new version of that gallery image. It has a new version of Office 365 in it. Office 360, it includes Microsoft Access, Link. We also installed the proofing tools, so the language packs. So you can choose a variety. I think there's like 17 different language packs that you could choose with Office. That was the top feedback request, one of the top feedback requests we had on the Azure feedback site. And then also .NET 3.5. So you could launch a click once application. So we're making continual improvements. Those are just a couple to name some of the things that we're doing around. So what we wanted to do is create a rhythm so that people could stay engaged. There's a forum to ask questions to the product group. So I'll be there. Omer will be there. We'll have other people from the product group available to answer your guys' questions. But really, it's a forum for you guys to come, ask questions, hear a little bit, and stay engaged.
Thanks, Eric. So in order, the demo that Eric mentioned, a great way to try this out for yourself is you can go to remoteapp.azure.com, and there's actually a link. You can try out the Azure Remote App service from an end user's perspective without having to sign up for the service at all. It'll help download the respective client, depending on the platform that you're on, and you can just sign in with your Microsoft account. If you have not provisioned Remote App for yourself, you'll actually get a bunch of Office applications, which are a demo that we've set up for you. You get to access that for 5 minutes. There's a way to give us some feedback at the end of that as well. There's some pre-populated data sets you can play around with, at least get an experience and a feel for what a typical application like Office looks like and feels like in Azure Remote App. I'm not going to share my screen today since I don't have that set up. However, I did want to talk about a great program that the engineering team is working with some of our customers on today. It's a great opportunity for some of our more customers who are looking to do deployments sooner rather than later to engage with the engineering team, get direct support from the engineering team, have a way to kind of give us that early feedback and really have a way to influence the direction that the service takes. Because as Eric mentions, we're very actively looking at the feedback that our customers give us and actually acting on that very, very quickly. A great example of that is, you know, in May when we shipped the service in cloud-based deployment, you could only use the template image that was available and not really bring your own line of business application. One of the top asks was, I want to be able to bring my own line of business app because it doesn't need the complexity that comes with a hybrid-based deployment. It will just work in a cloud-based deployment. And we heard that feedback, and very quickly we actually enabled that scenario where you can just upload your own template image and not worry about creating a hybrid deployment, but just use the cloud-based deployment to create an instance for that. So this is just one example of a feature that we added based off of feedback from you. So for some of our customers who are looking to do production-based deployments in the near future with 50 or more end users, we're actually dedicating engineering resources in order to make sure that you get your POCs up and running, get your users on here, have all the support that you need, and of course have a direct line of contact with the engineering team. If you think that that's interesting, please do reach out to us. I have a quick little survey that you can opt into this, and somebody from my team is going to reach out to you with more information around that. We can also use this to have more NDA-based conversations, specifically around price points, dollar amounts, and more information around licensing if you would prefer. So please just opt into this, submit it, and we'll get back to you, and we can definitely have that much more detailed one-off conversation, both forward-looking as well as some of the information that we can't disclose publicly right now. And that was about it in terms of the presentation itself. I think we should break for questions now. I see there's tons of questions that are already there. So, Eric, how are we doing on questions?
Doing great. Jim and I are keeping up with them, but people can unmute their microphones and they can ask questions. But could you show the demo? Could you actually go through that? Could you switch?
Unfortunately, we don't have screen share set up for this session, so I won't be able to do this. We can definitely put this on the agenda for next week, though.
Okay. All right. So, that would have been nice to show that end to end. But I think overall, just so people can hear, go out and download any of our clients. You could go to our primary landing page. That's www.remoteapp.windowsazure.com. That's www.remoteapp.windowsazure.com. That's a primary landing page that we have. And up in the upper right-hand corner, it says Install Client. And so that's where you could go to install the Windows client. If you want iOS, go to the App Store, or Mac, go to the App Store, Mac Store. If you want Google, go to the Google Play Store. But download any of our clients, and then click to add the Azure Remote App connection. Log in using your Microsoft account. That's your Hotmail, your Live, your what's the other one? Outlook.com. As soon as you log in, that's how you can get our demo. So it's a 10-minute trial. I think we have quite a few of the Office apps that are published up there. But that's the best way and the quickest way to get a feel overall, end-to-end, of the user experience, how your end users would experience and interact with it. If you want more of the administration, then go and submit a request to join the preview. We'll add that to your Azure subscription, and then you can go out and create cloud and hybrid deployments. But if you want just a quick little trial, go out, download one of our clients, log in using your Microsoft account, and tinker around for a little bit.
All right. Thanks, Eric. Let's take some questions here. I see a question here from Tim. He's asking that will it be possible to access files on your client system from within Azure Remote App? And the answer is yes. The administrator has the ability to enable something what we call a drive redirection. Let's walk through an example. Let's say you open Word in Azure Remote App and you want to be able to access a local file that happens to be saved on your disk drive. If drive redirection is enabled by your administrator, you will actually see, when you do file open, you'll actually see that drive redirected there, and you can just double click on it and open the document from there. It is still under the administrator's control, and that is for security reasons, so by default it's turned off, but your admin definitely has the ability to turn it on, and so you'll be able to do this, you know, even on a Mac, for instance, if you have a local file, you'll be able to do file open and actually see that file and actually double click and open that right from there.
Just a caveat on that, hey Tim. So by default, on a cloud deployment, drive redirection is disabled. If you would like that enabled, What you could do is post an item out on the Azure feedback site, and Jim or one of our customer support will enable that on the back end for you. We're working to get that enabled in the Azure UI and also be available with the commandlets when those are released. But in the meantime, to get that enabled drive redirection, that includes like serial port redirection, if you want to have that, you have to submit a request. Another way of doing it is send a request to Azure Remote App Forum at Microsoft.com. So either way, posting out to the forum or submitting an email to Azure Remote App at Microsoft.com.
Great. Another question, basically around scaling. So how does scaling of resources work in the cloud-based deployment? Is it automated, for example, if Office needs more resources than simple calculator, or if you have a more intensive application like Visual Studio, how does that work? So the way scaling up works in Azure Remote, actually in both the deployment options, is depending on the capacity that each of the virtual machines has. So for example, if we have n number of users on a VM, and we determine that based off of the testing that we've done internally. And by the way, what we've optimized for here is Office-based workloads, so similar workloads like Office. So if you have a really, really compute-intensive application such as, you know, AutoCAD, at least the SKU that's available for preview today, that probably won't behave very well. But for all other applications, including Visual Studio, it should work very well. Now, the way scaling up works is that when a new user comes in, we determine whether there's enough space available for that user before we start the session. And so we'll spin up more resources and then start the session for the user there. However, once the session starts, then you know, all the applications that the user launches for this instance of Azure Remote App will be within that one session on that one VM. Hopefully that answered the question.
I think overall there's quite a few. I'm seeing a theme of five or six questions about custom applications. So just to be very clear and direct, if you want to use a custom application, so Adam, that's a good question you asked, your line of business application or like QuickBooks or something that you had mentioned, you would need to create a custom image. Once you create that custom image, then you upload it, and that's what you create your Azure Remote App deployment using. So in order to use, the bottom line is, if you want to use custom applications, you do have to create a custom image.
Mm-hmm. Great. There's a question around printing. That's a very common question we actually get. Printer redirection is actually enabled and will work with Azure Remote App. So if you have a local printer, the RDP protocol actually detects that and enables you to actually shows that available to you as a redirected device on, let's say, Word that's running in Azure Remote App. A number of our customers are actually trying that out today. There's a question around on-premises AD. Oh, I think, Eric, you've already answered that one. Okay.
Yeah, but that's a good one. I think that's another confusion one in terms of you can create a cloud deployment, and the authentication method for that would be Azure Active Directory or Microsoft account, either or. So that should answer your question, Bill, on that.
Right. So Garfield had a question around, will there be a more streamlined way to update corporate applications without having to upload another image? Today, there are no public plans to do this, so you do have to upload another template image in order to do this. But we have heard this feedback from some of our customers, and we're thinking through how we can streamline that process even more. So there's a question from Fuzzle around licensing terms. I'm assuming you're talking about licensing terms for the applications that you're running on the service itself. The service, the Azure Remote App service itself just falls under the Azure licensing terms. So you can go read through those, which are available publicly. But in terms of the applications that you're running on the service itself, you need to work with your ISV or third-party vendor, whoever has written those applications or owns those applications, to make sure that the application is appropriately licensed for Azure Remote App. All right, let's find another question. There's a question, will USB devices be supported? There is a way to enable those. By default, they are turned off, and I think Eric has answered. Eric, you're beating me to the punch with all of these. But you can enable that the same way. You can post to the forum if you want us to enable USB redirection for specific USB devices. But it is definitely supported. You can enable it. All All right, so there's a question from Sam. We're a software development company and considering using remote app to provide Visual Studio, SQL Server, et cetera, to offshore developers. Well, it's not so much of a question as a comment, but if I were to look through the scenario that, Sam, you're talking about, that should work very well with Azure Remote App. A lot of our developers actually today are actually using Azure Remote App to develop the service itself even. So it works very well with, you know, Visual Studio, for instance, and you will, you know, probably have to consider the hybrid deployment, though. Okay.
Roland's a good one.
Roland, right.
If you want to answer that.
Yeah, so the question is, I want to have my desktop completely in the cloud. This means Excel, which is using SQL queries and offline programming. Does that work? Yes. So that's actually a very common question we get. Basically, the question here is that potentially you have a SQL-based database that you want to move the backend to the cloud as well. Yes, you can enable that today. There is a bit of a workaround. What I would suggest is go through the RDS blog. Just search for RDS blog, and that's the blog site for remote desktop services and remote app as well. We actually have a blog post out there that specifically, excuse me, talks about how you can set this scenario up. And you would do this by creating a VNet, a separate virtual network for your backend. So let's say a SQL database is what you need. So you go set up that SQL database in your VNet within your Azure subscription. And then there's a way for you to connect that existing virtual network with the virtual network that's being used by Azure Remote App. So there's a little bit of config there, but it's not super complicated. We definitely have a blog post that actually walks through all the steps needed to set that up. And after that, you should be able to do this. Now, the great advantage of doing this, of course, is there is no latency issues in terms of the VNet connection for hybrid, right? The backend lives in the same data center, so it's super, super quick because the network within the Azure data center has very low latencies. So yes, the scenario does work, and I would recommend looking at the blog post. I don't know, Eric, if you have the link handy, but it might be worth posting that here. All right, so let's see.
Carlos had a good one. Does Azure Remote App support multi-tenant environment?
Right. Today, it does not. So the isolation that you would want for multi-tenant means basically having multiple subscriptions. So you could always have multiple subscriptions in Azure Remote App, right? And so each subscription is essentially a tenant. And in terms of management, you could always use PowerShell. That is an option we have available, and you can do all of your management and even automate some of this management through PowerShell. At least some of our customers are actually going down that route. But within an Azure subscription, we do not have multi-tenant support. There's a question from Blake around licensing. So will there be any licensing options related to DR issue, assuming that only use remote app for the DR purposes? That's a great question. We get a lot of questions around this. We should talk more offline in detail, but specifically, there isn't going to be a special licensing offer for DR. We think the existing licensing model should, in fact, work for Azure Remote App. you would do this by basically trying to assign users dynamically. Right? So if you do assign users to Azure Remote App, you will be charged for them depending on the licensing model. However, some of our customers are looking at this scenario are looking at potentially automating that using PowerShell. So you automatically assign users when you actually need them to. So it's a bit of a workaround, but it does work. So that is the model that you should explore there. There's a question. I have Office Professional 2013 desktop and Office 365 within two different accounts. Can I replace this by one Azure Remote App license? That is a good question, and I believe the answer there is no. With Office 365, you will definitely be able to use Azure Remote App, and Azure Remote App will actually be considered as just another device. So with Office 365, you get up to five devices, I believe, that you can run on. And we were doing some work on the Azure Remote App side to make sure that it is one of the devices, just considered one of the devices. For Office Professional 2013, right now it's included as part of the preview for the service. But what you cannot do is bring your existing Office Professional 2013 license to Azure Remote App because the licensing term actually prohibits you from doing that. There's a question around Dynamics Nav. because you want to deploy Dynamics and you want to use a domain joined server. And I have my AD that's already on Azure. What do you have to do? That's interesting. So if you want to use, I'm actually not super familiar with Dynamics Nav, but I'm assuming that it needs to talk to, it needs to be domain joined. So I think what you need to look at is the hybrid deployment here. Now, even if you have your AD in the cloud, basically you want to walk through the blog post I was mentioning earlier to enable VNet to VNet connection. Once you do this, if your AD is already on Azure, you should be able to connect to that through using that and then domain join directly, domain join your hybrid deployment that way. So this scenario should work, but you want to look at the hybrid deployment for this. There's a question from Carl. Can you assign static public IP to remote apps or IP lockdown applications for IP lockdown applications? And Eric has already answered that. The tool is a little slow, but yes, the answer is no. All right. So let's see. There's a question from Victor, which I'm hoping Eric hasn't beaten me to the punch on. Is there a way to install custom applications without creating a VPN? And the answer is yes. You can upload your template image and just create a cloud-based deployment off of that. Of course, if this application needs to talk to a backend, it won't be able to. But you know, since you don't want to create a VPN device, I'm assuming that you don't have that requirement. So yes, you can definitely do this. All you need to do really is upload the template image to your deployment to the same region. Once you do this and you hit new to create a cloud deployment, you'll actually see your image show up there, and you can just pick that and create a cloud-based deployment. So the question is, if I find I have a printer that's not recognized for remote printing, how do I get the driver configured? Right, so that's a great way that Eric has responded. You can definitely post to get more information on the forum. You want to make sure that printer redirection is enabled. So I think, yeah, this sounds like an issue, so the right way to do this is just posting to the forum, and we'll definitely help you out with that.
Yeah, if you want to have us enable redirection for you, maybe the fastest way to do that is just to email remoteappforum@microsoft.com, and that'll get it done for you more quickly.
Right. So Sam has a follow-up question on the Visual Studio, right? So you want to deploy Visual Studio for offshore developers, and you're concerned about latency, right, and developer productivity. So a great way to do this is create the instance of Azure Remote App closer to your users, right? Where you create the instance of Azure Remote App depends on the type of application, right? We've seen some of our customers who decided to place their Azure Remote App closer to the backend database rather than their users, because remember, RDP is actually pretty great over high latency and low bandwidth networks. So for instance, if I'm sitting here connecting to a data center in Europe, it actually behaves pretty well over RDP as opposed to potentially moving it closer to me, but the application needs to, especially if it's a chatty application, if it needs to talk over the VPN tunnel, that actually might be slower. So it really depends on the scenario and the application. In your case, since you're talking about Visual Studio, I would recommend, I'd imagine that what you're looking for is low lag for the user when they're coding and when they're typing. It might be worth considering moving the instance of Azure or Visual Studio closer to your users rather than closer to the backend database. It might take a little longer to sync the code, right? But once you've done that, it lives locally there on Azure Remote App, and then latency should not be a concern. But I would recommend, experimenting on different regions for your specific scenario, depending on your workload, and you should be able to find a good happy medium there. All right. So there's a question: in hybrid deployment, what resources do you have to join to your AD on-premise domain? Only RDSH computer account or other resources? Yeah, that's a good question. So there's two things to consider here. First of all, yes, only RDSH servers will be joined to your domain. Now, when you create a hybrid deployment, there are two additional questions that we're going to ask you when you're creating the VNet. The first one is you need to provide us with the credentials for a service account that you create in your AD. The service account can be completely locked down. For example, you can disable interactive logon. The only permissions that service account requires is domain join permissions. Once you give it domain join permissions, that is the account we will use to domain join the RDSH server to your domain. The other piece of information, obviously, that we'll need is the IP address for your AD, as well as an IP address range that you can that you'll have to dedicate to Azure Remote App, right? So if you dedicate that IP address range to us, when we're scaling up, we don't need to worry about finding an IP address for you. So we just pick the one from a pool that we know is dedicated for this. And that's the IP address we'll assign to the RDSH server, which will then be domain joined to your domain.
Good question about support by Larry. So support for our preview is through the forums. Of course, when we go general availability, support will be through your Azure support plan. But in the meantime, it's through the forums.
Yep. There's a question from Roland. What about the experience in speed? Example, Excel workbook with queries to SQL Server in Azure. I'm not sure if you're referring to the frames per second that your users see. So that would be, you know, how what the experience is or how jittery the experience is for your users, or if you're referring to the queries that Excel workbook does to the SQL Server. Now, in terms of the frames per second, that obviously depends on the network that you're on. The RDP protocol does dynamically adhere kind of understand and detect the behavior that your network is showing you in terms of capacity and adjust to that. So the FPS will actually adjust dynamically. In terms of the application talking to a backend database, depends on the type of deployment, right? If you have a hybrid deployment, the Excel workbook is going to, and the SQL database is, SQL Server is on premises, then the communication is going to happen through the VPN tunnel. Now, if your VPN, if the region that you've created Azure Remote App on is closest, is basically the same region as your on-premises deployment, on-premises network, then the latency should be pretty low, right? But it really depends on that distance between the Azure data center and your on-premises network. If you have the SQL Server in Azure as well, in fact, I think that's what you're referring to in Azure, then if you have the VNet to VNet connection, it should be very, very low, right? Because the traffic never leaves the Azure data center, so you shouldn't be seeing a lot of latency concerns there. Question on release dates. We don't have any specific release dates, but tentatively we are looking at the first half of the next calendar year. But if you're looking at doing a deployment immediately, I would recommend just opting into it in the survey that we mentioned, or just shooting us an email or posting on the forum potentially, and we can definitely reach out to you with other options where you can actually create a deployment immediately and not have to worry about any preview concerns that you might have.
It's a good question about backup of user data on remote app. It was by Jean-Claude. How do you do a backup of user data on remote app?
Right. So if you're using cloud deployment, so as I mentioned earlier, right, each user gets 50 gigabytes of storage, right? That's the persistent user disk. The persistent user disk is going to be, so all of that user data is going to be backed up automatically by the service itself. And so, you know, if there's any issues, we'll definitely have a copy of that of that data. If you as the administrator want to enable additional backup, you have a number of options, especially in the hybrid deployment. In the hybrid deployment, if you're using something like folder redirection, then your data actually lives on premises. So you have full control over whatever type of backup you want to set up for your data. So you definitely have that flexibility. But by default, if your data is living in Azure, we definitely back it up to make sure that it's available if disaster strikes.
Hey guys, this is Richard again. I just wanted to remind you that we are at 9:30 a.m. right now, so right around the conclusion of the presentation. I just wanted to thank everyone for joining again, and of course, Omer and Eric for a great presentation. Hopefully we did get a chance to answer your questions, and if not, we'll try again and follow up later. Keep in mind that tomorrow we're going to be sending out an email with a recording of today's session in case you'd like to review it.
Hey, Richard,
and
could we also send out...
Yeah,
hey, Richard,
go ahead.
Could we also include... We'll include links in there to the forums and the feedback and other specific items in that too. So if you guys didn't get that, we'll have that included in the email also.
Certainly. All right, and that concludes this week's presentation. Thanks again, everyone, for joining, and have a great day.